This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. The topic of discussion today is alleged discrepancies of the Bible. Let me repeat that. Alleged discrepancies of the Bible. I don't believe that the Bible contradicts itself. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But there are many critics of the Bible out there who do allege that the Bible is full of contradictions, that the Bible is full of discrepancies. I'm going to submit to you today that if you do the research, if you spend the time and look at these alleged discrepancies, you will find there is a valid answer for these alleged discrepancies, for these contradictions, and we will look at some of them on today's program. When you look at these discrepancies, you can break them down into various categories. There are ethical discrepancies, and let me give you an example of an ethical discrepancy. In the Ten Commandments, we are told, "Thou shalt not kill." But we also read in another part of the Bible that God told the Israelites to destroy or kill the Amalekites. Now, why would God give the law to Moses saying, "Don't kill," yet God is telling Israel to destroy the Amalekites? Well, what you will find when you do the research on this is the commandment against killing really means not to murder. There are righteous killings when you look at the Bible, and when you discuss this, you find that out, and there are other ethical things like that running throughout the Bible. Another example of discrepancies that people bring up are doctrinal discrepancies. And we will not spend any time on that particular subject today. That could go into many future programs if we wanted it to. But you will find among various Christian groups that there are discrepancies with doctrine. What is the nature of God? What happens when you die? You will find that various Christian churches teach different things on those things. What happens in heaven? What is hell? There are discrepancies and arguments amongst the various churches on these particular topics, and these are considered doctrinal discrepancies. We also have a category of discrepancy that I'm going to look a little more closely at today, and we would title this historical discrepancies. And when we talk about historical discrepancies, we're going to look at some of examples of this. And some of these examples concern a person's name. In one part of Scripture, they have one name. In another part of Scripture, they have a different name. There are time discrepancies when we look at history. You will find that the time it took to do this or that may be different. And why is that? You will find that place names are different in the Bible, and some critics will seize upon that. You will find that numbering conventions can be different in the Bible. One particular writer gives this particular number. Another one talking about the same thing may give a different number. Why is that? There are simple answers to some of these questions, and I hope to resolve a few of these questions for you on today's program. Now, before we get started, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature, and I'd also like to offer you a free sermon CD on today's program. The booklet we'd like to offer you on today's program is titled Evidence for the Life of Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's taken from Isaiah 9, verse 6. And ladies and gentlemen, this booklet will give you biblical evidence for the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a real individual who was on planet Earth, and His life was significant for all of humanity. Get this booklet and also get our free full-length sermon CD, Reliability of the New Testament. This is a four-part CD series, and we'd like you to get item number one within this series. If you like what you hear, please order items 2 through 4 later. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. You can also order by going to our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Once again, thanks for joining us today. Those of you that are just tuning in, we're talking about alleged discrepancies of the Bible. And I emphasize alleged because I don't believe there are discrepancies in the Bible. I believe with research and taking the time and doing the work, you will find that the Bible does not contradict itself. When you really study the Bible and learn about it, you will come to believe that the Bible is the Word of the living God. Now, there are critics out there. One critic I will mention right off the bat is a fellow named John Armstrong, and he wrote a book called God versus the Bible. Yeah, God versus the Bible. And this particular individual addresses what he thinks are various contradictions in the Bible. Now, he does make some valid points that need to be addressed in his book, but some of the arguments he makes, ladies and gentlemen, are just ridiculous. For example, he brings up a scripture in Matthew where God says that He feeds the birds, or He takes care of the birds on the earth and feeds them. Now, Armstrong seizes upon this and says, well, we know God doesn't feed the birds because God isn't putting that seed in the bird's mouth. God doesn't put that bird on the ground to find that worm in the ground. Of course not. But we know that through the instinct God has created in birds, the birds are able to take care of themselves because of the Creator behind those particular birds. So arguments like that, I hope you would agree, are ridiculous on their face. Now, that's not to say that some of the points he makes in his book are all ridiculous. He does make some valid points that need to be addressed. And I'm going to look at some general themes today in addressing discrepancies, but there are a lot of these critics out there, and I believe that we can defend the truth of the Bible against these various critics that are out there. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to focus in on supposed historical discrepancies in the Bible. Differences in names, differences in timing, differences in numbers, and things of that nature that some critics of the Bible seize upon. And I believe that you will see some of these are easily explained. The first place I'd like to go today is over in the book of 2 Samuel 23 and verse 27. And this is a well-known supposed discrepancy over in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 27. And it says here, Abiezer the Anathothite, Mabune the Hushathite. So I want to look at this name Mabune, and we want to focus in on that name. Now remember that name Mabune, and if you have your Bibles handy, I want you to turn over to 1 Chronicles, and we're going to look at chapter 11 and verse 29 in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 11, 29. Now listen what it says here. It says, Sabaki the Hushathite, Elay the Ahohite. Now, why am I bringing up these names in two different parts of the Bible, and actually different names in two different parts of the Bible? Here's why. When you begin to study the Bible, you find out that the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, they are actually recapitulations of the activities of the kings of Judah and Israel. And many of these books are telling you the story of the same kings with slightly different details. Now, this particular individual that we mentioned, Mabune the Hushathite, in 2 Samuel 23:27, is one in the same as Sabake, who is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 11:29. This is such a well-known discrepancy that my Bible actually has a marginal reference quoting back to 2 Samuel and saying that this Sabaki is actually the Mabuni who is mentioned over here in 2 Samuel. Now, the only similarity you see is they are both Hushathites, but through biblical research, they found that this name was probably put in error by a copyist. Why would a copyist make an error like that? Because the names are so closely spelled in the original Hebrew that whoever had made this copyist error here put in Sabaki instead of Mabuani. And that's a well-known discrepancy in the Bible that scholars have come to agree upon as to why that discrepancy is there. Now, another more, let's say, important discrepancy relating to names can be found in the New Testament. And I'd like to look at this one, and it has to do with the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have the time on today's program to read all of the lists of the disciples which run throughout the gospel messages, but I will give you where these particular scriptures are in your Bible. You will find the apostles listed in four different locations in your Bible. The first one is in Matthew 10, verses 2 through 4. Then we can move on to Mark 3, verses 16 through 19. Luke's gospel lists the apostles or disciples of Jesus in Luke 6, 13 through 16. And finally, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, you have another list of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, some critics of the Bible say when they look at these lists, they see that there are a couple different names within these lists. Now, these lists also have the names in a different order at times, and that's no big deal. But let's look at this idea that there are some different names within the list of the disciples. Because there were only 12, right? They had to be the same guys. You couldn't have a 13th and 14th disciple with Jesus when the Bible teaches there were 12 disciples. So what's going on here? Well, what's going on is this, ladies and gentlemen. If you do some study on your own and you read all those scriptures I just gave you, here's what you're going to learn. That one of the names you see that's a little bit different among the different lists is a guy named Lebius, Thaddeus, and Judas, the brother of James. And what scholarship has determined is that these three names are actually dealing with the same individual. They were one and the same person. So why do we have different names for this person? Folks, do you have a nickname? I know many people who have a nickname, and sometimes they are addressed by their nickname rather than their regular name. Another thing you need to understand about this time and place in history is many people were using different languages at this time and place in history. Greek was being used by the entire Roman Empire, but in places like Palestine, you had some people still using Hebrew, still using Aramaic, and sometimes those names would be used by a particular writer because he was more familiar with that particular name. The other name issue you have with these four various scriptures is a guy named Simon Zelotes in one of the lists, and another fella named Simon the Canaanite in another list. Once again, this is the same individual. Zelotes is his Greek name, and when he's referred to as Simon the Canaanite, that's the way of rendering it in the Hebrew. So we see that there are not any discrepancies in these lists of the disciples. Now, as you read those lists, those of you who know your Bible pretty well might say, well, wait a minute. When I turn over to the book of John, John chapter 1, and specifically verse 45, it says this, John 1, 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing coming out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And what we find out is Nathanael becomes one of the disciples. But you know what? Nathanael's not mentioned in any of those four lists I mentioned to you. Why is that? Because the name Bartholomew is provided in those lists, and that was Nathanael's surname, or his patronymic name, his last name, if you will. So Nathanael was not mentioned in any of those lists because Nathanael, his surname was used instead of his given name. So that's another alleged discrepancy that is easily handled. Let's look at a few more. Again, we're dealing with historical discrepancies, time, place, numbers, and things of that nature. Let's go back to the Old Testament to look at this one. In 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 16, I'd like to show you a scripture there. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 16. Here's what we read in 2 Chronicles 15:16. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now, turn with me to 1 Kings 15, and we're going to read about this woman again. 1 Kings chapter 15, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 2. Well, let me begin in verse 1, 1 Kings 15:1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Now wait a minute. This woman is named as the mother of this king here, Abijam, and she's also named over in 2 Chronicles as the mother of Asa. Now, which one was she the mother of? Well, what you find out, ladies and gentlemen, is she was actually the grandmother of Asa, but the mother of his father, who was Abijam. But it was common at this time and place in history for a reigning king to take on the previous mother, if she was still alive, and call them your mother also. Even though it was his grandmother, he could use this title for her as his mother also. It was just something that was done at that time and place in history. And if we think about this in today's society, my daughter calls my mother-in-law, her grandmother, mommy at times because of the fact she takes care of her and does things for her and used to take care of her in the home daycare that we had in our house. Let's take a look at another of these alleged discrepancies. We'll find this over in Numbers chapter 20. So let's go back to the first five books of the Bible, Numbers chapter 20, And let's see what happened here in Numbers 20 and verse 27. Numbers 20 and 27. Here's what we read. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. So it says that Aaron dies here in the top of the mount. So what's the problem? Well, here's the supposed problem. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 6, we read the following. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachin to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. Did you catch that? Deuteronomy is saying that he died, that Aaron died here in Moserah, and we were reading over here in Numbers that he died on Mount Hor. So how do we resolve this conflict? Well, what we find out is the area of Moserah was a station near Mount Hor. When you think of a mountain, ladies and gentlemen, a mountain slopes upward, and there's a lot of space down that mountain and in the area around that mountain. Mount Hor had this area called Moserah, which was very close to it. And the people at that time knew and understood that this was part of the mountain. So when you understand that and you know that, you realize there is no discrepancy with that particular scripture. Some other discrepancies in the Bible you find are around numbers. And some of these discrepancies, the reason for them is, let me give you an example. Hebrew letters were used for numbers at certain periods in the history of these peoples. One of the numbers, or one of the letters in Hebrew, is kind of looking like a backward C with a little piece up at the top like that. That would stand for a number 2. You also had a backward C with nothing on top, and that would let you know that you had the number 20. There was also a backward C that was about half the size of the previous backward C, and that stood for the number 50. Now you can imagine, as people were copying these scriptures down and came upon three backward C's that looked very similar, they could confuse those numbers with each other, and that's why you do have some issues with some numberings within the Bible. You also find other issues around, an example I will give you in Genesis 22 and verse 2. In Genesis 22 and verse 2, we read about Abraham's son Isaac. And what we read there in Genesis 22, verse 2, is that this was his only son. Now, those of you that know your Bible very well know that Abraham did have other sons. You can read about those other sons in Genesis 26 and verse 5, and 25 and verse 6. Genesis 25 and verse 6. And these other sons that he had were from his concubines, but he had Isaac from his chief wife, who was Sarah. That's why he's mentioned as his only son, because the important covenant that God created with Israel came through Abraham to Isaac, and that's why he's mentioned in that way in the Bible. Once again, there are many other examples like this in Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, and what you need to do is do the research and look into these things, and don't just take the word of the critics. Look at what the defenders of the Bible have to say about what those criticisms are. Now, remember to get that free literature, ladies and gentlemen, and we also want to tell you to stick around before this program ends, my colleague is going to join you and give you a little bit more information on this interesting topic that we've been looking at today. Remember, I say these are alleged discrepancies of the Bible because when you put in the time and the research, you will find there are not discrepancies in the Bible. Listen to my colleague, and I'll join you on another edition.
Well, Mike mentioned something very clearly on today's program, didn't he? He mentioned that all Bible discrepancies are nothing more than alleged discrepancies. Contrary to those who scrutinize the Bible and question some of the topics and subjects in it, the Bible is clear. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, it states emphatically all Scripture is inspired by God for a multiple reason and purpose. And consequently, we as people in questioning the Bible on these topics oftentimes will find that we are bucking up on nothing more than silly, nitpicky, oftentimes nonsensical accusations or suspicions concerning a topic we may be investigating. 66 books, my friends, written by a variety of authors over millennia of years, pulling together all kinds of information that crosses cultures and time eras. It's an amazing, enormously incredible document, the Bible, and all the things that it covers from the continuums of different kinds of information, as I say, from culture to prophetic subjects. It's amazing. And if we would only give it the benefit of the doubt and take some time to find out perhaps why this particular subject, topic, or word appears to be contradicting something else, we would find that in most cases, the translator mistranslated, or he was inserting his own bias into the topic, or the Greek or the Hebrew word is being mistranslated. Many, many varieties of reasons. But my friends, it is an enormous subject, and I think Mike showed us that it is. Let us help you better understand this. Dial now 888-578-8791 and ask the operator for both of these free offers, evidence of the life of Jesus Christ and the first of a four-part series titled Reliability of the New Testament. We'll send you the first one. You'll have to send us back a response to let us send you the second, the third, and the fourth. We want to be sure that only those who request it really want it. But you will find that both of these pieces of information are very compelling to the topic that we're talking about here today. So friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you be well suited up in this day and age that we're living in, and you keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.